why did Reach want to look into tiny homes?
Well, Reach, as you may recall, has spent the last four winters providing emergency shelters for homeless men and women. And some time back, we changed our name to Reach Advocacy, realizing that the shelters in the winter were just a Band-Aid, and we needed to have a longer-range vision of what we might do to provide permanent supportive housing for the homeless, both advocating changes in the ways in which regulations are applied to homeless people, but also to try and become part of the conversation about the housing crisis that we all face as our housing becomes more expensive and unaffordable to so many people in our city.
So what is it about tiny homes? And by the way, I understand there is no agreed upon official definition of what constitutes a tiny home, but I think most of us envision something that's, what, you know, 500 square feet or less.
Yeah, it's between 200 and 300 square feet.
Okay. Well, what is it about these tiny structures that you think would be a good solution for homelessness or for lack of affordable housing?
Well, I think there are two ways in which we can talk about that. The first is that a good portion of the people that we encounter in our shelter are people who have a difficult time in close proximity to others. Their social needs are quite different, and they very often feel the need for some separate and private area for themselves. So a tiny home affords that possibility. But oddly enough, in counter to that, a tiny home village provides an opportunity to create a social experience that will help people deal with some of the issues that bring them to homelessness. So we thought that the tiny home village gives them both a sense of equity in that they have their own place, and some of them who've got streams of income will be able to rent to buy, so that they begin to assess to accumulate some equity in the building, and that would be good for them. So there are all sorts of reasons that it seemed like a good idea for us. They can be energy efficient, and they can provide a sense of community dwelling.
Well, lay out for me the vision that you have right now. How large would this village be? Where would it be located?
Well, right now, the land we're looking at, we do not have it as our own land at this point. The land is a vacant lot, and it's technically owned by the city. We've had conversations with the heads of departments in the city about zoning, about land preparation, about building use and all that kind of thing, and building code. And whilst they've not given us an authorization to go ahead, they didn't discourage us either. They wanted us to come back with more detailed planning. So we've been in consultation with the Rochester Institute of Architectural Department. Professor Nana Ando there has taken us under his wing, and we've had students working with us, and we just received some preliminary drawings as to what this might look like. And we are almost ready to go back to the city council and say, here's our proposal. On top of that, RMAPI, as you know, awarded us $50,000 for the first tiny home. And so we think within a very short while, we should be ready to go before the council and ask for consideration about changing the zoning.
What does the zoning say right now? Because I know a lot of people who just on their own have been interested in perhaps building a tiny home. Zoning laws can be kind of tricky. Not every
Right.
municipality allows it.
Right. We understand that. And so this is certainly going to ask the city to think creatively about some of the vacant lands within the city code. Right now, the piece of land we're looking at is zoned for single dwelling. It's a huge piece of land. It is almost a football field long down and, towards the river.
And where is it located exactly?
It's on St. Paul Street, and it's currently vacant. So we have to do some persuasion to the city that this is a worthwhile project. We would not be the first city to try this. And if we think this pilot program is successful, we think there are going to be other slots where a tiny home village could be put similar to the one we're talking about.
You say $50,000, that would cover the first home. How do you plan on raising rest of the money if you do get the go-ahead for an actual village?
Well, hopefully that will be an incentive for other sources to be generous towards us. Obviously, we'll be working hard to write grants and solicit funds from as many agencies as we can. There is increasing awareness, it seems to me, that currently the average cost of rent or the average cost of housing in the Rochester area is missing a huge segment of our population. People who are living on less than 30% of the area median income cannot afford to live in places that are currently on the market. And even with rent subsidies, those are very limited. There are limited numbers of places that are available. And some of the rent subsidy programs, like Title VIII, are in fact have a long waiting list.
Yes, in your original announcement, you mentioned that these tiny homes would not just be for the formerly homeless population.
Right.
You're talking about a mixed population who would need access to this housing at this pricing level.
Yes. Well, we're thinking that to try and create a mixed demographic is much healthier for the quality of life that the village would generate, so that people would begin to develop their own social patterns and their own social responsibilities. We think each village will have some sort of council that helps to determine its quality of life, and each person in the village will be a member of the council.
And I know REACH is envisioning another aspect of this that could help people who are unemployed or perhaps underemployed, and that has to do with the manufacturing of these homes, correct?
Right. We're working with another organization, and the hope is that we can eventually do the construction of the tiny homes with the help of people who are being trained in carpentry, plumbing, and electrical work to help them become ready for employment. So we think that there is a strong anti-poverty and job readiness aspect to our plans.
Peter, if people are interested in any aspect of what we just talked about, what would be the best way for them to find out more information or to stay in touch with REACH so they can keep track of the ongoing process?
They can keep in touch with us by our website, reachadvocacy.org.
All right, very good. We'll put a link to that on our website as well, wxxinews.org. Peter Peters from REACH, Rochesterians Engaging in Action with the Chronically Homeless. Thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
Thanks so much, Beth.